So, first of all, I'm supposed to say that I'm very disappointed that you started Guadec without me. I wish I had a lot more of screenshots and slides and stuff, but, well, I have enough material for the time, and I wanted to make a longer history, but the history would have taken up all the time anyway. So, the point of this slide is the point is to discuss a little bit what was the history of GTK user interface programming paradigms over the last 10 years or so, before LibGlade or around when we had LibGlade. Then we had, well, everybody was writing code by hand, right? But LibGlade was pretty early in the GTK history. You had Glade first. And so a lot of people were writing code mixed in with the generated code that they built with Glade. So Glade had only one feature to export, which was to generate code in different languages, and you would have a whole application defined in an XML file and one callbacks.c generated, and people would just enter their code and it would be completely unmaintainable. So yeah, that's an interesting fun fact, is that LibGlade was created after Glade, and it kind of just was a hijacking of the Glade project file format, which was a really neat trick by James Henstridge. And since then we have LibGlade, and back then it seemed that installing your user interface separately from your programming and allowing you to view your changes without compiling was all the rage. I don't think we really care about that these days, but that seems to have been all the rage back then. Right, so back then, how did we used to write code? We could write modular code, but it was not obvious. I have a couple of code examples that I wanted to show. And one of them was, yeah, this is, okay, this Emacs is really huge on the screen, but I've seen a lot of code like this 10 years ago. Basically, you just create a structure and you build a lot of widgets and you have an API. It's object-based C, it's not object-oriented. But, you know, people managed, and well, maybe it's coming back now with templates, you know, this modular kind of way to write code. But with Glade, we just had a big mess of huge user interface and many, many, many callbacks. So just scroll through there, yeah. So basically, yeah. Oh, what's that? Okay. So where was I? Okay, so eventually, am I stepping over something? After LibGlade, there was GTK Builder, but that came like 5 years later, and there's one interesting event that took place, I started noticing the dev help program had built itself as a G object for the preferences dialog and used the GTK builder in the initialization function to create its own interface. And it looked like a whole lot of boilerplate and extra lines of code, like, to do something pretty, but it was actually really nicely done, which is great, you know. And I started to encourage people to follow that paradigm, but people don't write. People write the code that's obvious to them, and if we don't have guidelines and techniques and even infrastructure that forces you to code in a certain way, then people are just going to write very random things. Like, for example, how many times have you heard the question, how do I get two pointers in my callback for G-signal connect. You know what I mean? Like, that's like you're tackling the problem from backwards. You're not thinking of the design. You just want this function to work right now. What are you going to do? And how many people have seen code like this? Like, you have your callback structure, you know, and you allocate your callback structure. You connect it. You have your data. You know, if you're lucky, somebody thought of releasing the memory at some point. And no, but what it does too is that your data is all over the place. It's not centralized. It's not pretty. It's not organized. And you're working in an environment that is error prone because of the implicit invocation possibilities are enormous. So you're working in a project that has all your dialogues, all your buttons in the same namespace. And anybody can just connect a signal, and that can cause another signal to fire. And there's no really defined limit since all of these objects are visible. So you can have recursion, and it's very hard to track these implicit invocation loops. Yes, I'm not really jumping in order here, but code generation, I don't really have much to say about that, but it's what everybody asks me. Why doesn't Glade generate code? Yes. Yes. Maybe less in the last couple of years, but yes, constantly. Ever since we released Glade 3, people cry about that. Yes. Like, now I have to call Glade XML load from file, GTK builder add from file. And yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you know, like, it's you're never going to use Glade twice if you're going to use generated code. It's just never going to work out, you know. Okay, so after all that, yay, we have templates. And not everybody knows what templates are, but templates are a way to encode GTK builder XML file descriptions into a widget class so that when you create an instance of a certain type, its components are automatically built and variables referring to it are resolved and callbacks are connected, and it's just a formalism for creating a composite object class which involves no grunt work. There is APIs to call to describe it, but there is no grunt work. So not only do we gain by removing steps in the process of developing code, but now we have a standard that people can adapt to. They can say, this is the way that you write a composite widget in GTK. And they're not going to do this. They're not going to ask, how do I get two pointers in my user data? They're not going to run around in circles, and they're going to have a path in front of them. All right. Meanwhile, so in this last 10 years, I guess 10 years ago, there was already this Next Step environment, which was already doing this. And little parenthesis here, I used Interface Builder, and I used Flash 5 years ago, and that's when I started going crazy about templates, and it just, like, using Xcode and Interface Builder just made me realize, like, how straightforward that is with GTK Builder, and kind of feeling pathetic about how come we did not do it yet, and it took this long, but here we are. So, yeah. Next Step environment is Apple's Objective-C programming environment, and nib files is basically the equivalent of Interface Builder's GTK Builder format. And they've been doing that forever. And they have some cool features to optimize your workflow. So you can, what are the features that they give you? Right, you have those weird lines, that's true. You have Xcode here and you have Interface Builder here, and I wanted to put screenshots, but I'm sorry, I didn't have screenshots. It's quite an acid trip because you have these like list of events that an object can generate, like G signals, and you have, that's like in your Glade, right? And then you have your source code editor, which is Xcode, which is kind of like sensitive drop target, right? And you grab your signal, and it's in another window, and you drag it to the method, and then that means that that method is going to respond to that signal on that object, which is component child of your own, right? And that's a big blue line that just strands across the screen. Like, anyway, it's really practical. I mean, it looks really strange, but it's really practical. There's actually so many things that we need to do in Glade to support this properly, because right now we only support just creating a object class, right, which is composite, defining one composite object class. But another example of a cool feature to do is in Adobe Flash Creator, you can just go ahead and your workflow will be, I'm going to design an interface, and I'm going to design an interface, right, and I have my, my album jacket, you know, and my song titles, and, you know, my more button, and insert money, you know, or whatever's going on there. And so I have a mock-up, and then I can just, like, take this box, right, and I can right-click on it and say, export that as a class, you know? Just give me a list browser, because I'm gonna use that in like three or four more of my interfaces. So this one is like maybe, song browser screen, you know? And this one becomes the class called song lists, you know?
Is that from Flash Catalyst?
That's from, I don't know about Catalyst. I use that with ActionScript 3.
There's like three or four different Flash tools, and I think this is...
There's Air, and
yeah,
there's...
Different stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's... I think that paradigm is going to work just as well as on Air as on your streaming SWF. But it's really practical, because then you have this new object, and you can either export it as a class, which means that you're going to implement it, or you can just, since it's Flash, right, you have these composite thingies, and they're just drawings and vectorial objects, right? So you don't really need to have code. You can just use them and paste them. And what's really interesting is that you have a project that's composed of, like, maybe 10 classes. And when you modify one, then you see the change in the other, and everything is reactive. And this is where I want to go with Glade. So, how far did I go? Yes. Here. Before we continue, I did pull this out. This is how it's done. This is how it's done in Cocoa and Next Step and Interface Builder. Basically, you have this guy, right? IBOutlet is a syntactic sugar that's custom for the Next Step Objective-C implementation. And declaring your UI label as an IBOutlet means that my text is associated with an object that's in the Next Step Interface Builder file. So it's a syntactic sugar that basically means that that label is part of my nib file. And that Same thing goes for IB action, button pressed, right? So yeah, as you can imagine, you'll only get to see that LSD trip blue line across the screen if you have an IB action on that method that can handle that signal. Right, so that's, I don't have flash script. I wanted to have action script because it's more cute than the Objective-C, but I couldn't put it together. So, and that's all because you guys started one day early. all right. This is what was on the internet on my blog site when we got it, when Lethalmen got it working with Vala, and his name is Luca. Yes, that's right. So here you can see the same pattern is repeated, except we have this extra syntactic sugar, which means your Vala class is going to be a template. Right. This isn't exactly a tutorial about how to use Vala. Actually, I'm a big advocate of Vala, but I've never used it myself, which is a bit strange. But
that's why you're an advocate.
Maybe. I was told that means I'm a true believer. right. So, oh yeah. Well, the distinction is in Objective-C, you have to use this controller object class, which I thought was kind of silly, and I did not want to repeat that in GTK, but they have this object, this UI view controller object, which is it's a kind of meta object around your screen, and only using that object can you create composite interfaces. So here we have the equivalent. You have GTK template. GTK child is pretty much synonymous with IB outlet. It will let you to, of course, in C code this is a little bit more verbose, but I think that we've got something really much nicer, much more bleeding edge and cutting edge, and I wish that I had the screenshots to show it off better to make us all a little bit more ashamed about how behind we are, right? And so GTK child and GTK callback, right? Now this is pretty simple. You can create a class, create a UI file, put it all together. This is just going to work. In this demo, you have an entry, and you have a virtual text property. Actually, yes, it's kind of virtual because there's no storage. It only sets the text on its delegate entry object. And then when the entry changes, he notifies that virtual property has changed, and that's the callback, which is, of course, connected to the entry inside the Glade file in response to its changed signal.
What is GTK callback needed for, by the way?
It's what is it needed for? It declares your method or your function as an endpoint for a signal that can it becomes accessible to the namespace that Glade refers to for signals, because we couldn't really accept DL open, DL sim. So you know, this is kind of nicer, you know, like, so the class itself creates a dictionary of functions which can be called, and the interface file, the interface description, only has access to those symbols. GTK Builder will fall back to DL sim, but you don't have to remember that. Okay. I'm sure I had more parentheses for this. Okay. Right. We went over this in the beginning. Basically, adding this doesn't make anything new possible. I've seen this approach There was a Python library, RA something, I don't remember. But they had their own kind of implementation of this, but it was like a base class had a GTK builder instance who would, you know, like they, it would respond to calls of like get this or get that by looking at its own builder file. And then, but you know, people have been doing similar things, but having an infrastructure for actually doing it makes it so that people actually do it and that it's easy for them. And that makes all the difference. Right, and we don't find these situations where some code is reacting to, you know, like you press the button in your callback, it changed the entry, and then the other guy is hearing the entry change and he's setting the end of the scroll bar to be not sensitive, and it can go in every which direction. But since you have that built into a Glade file, built into an object class, then there's no room for unexpected instances of implicit invocation. So I kind of think it's a good idea to move towards explicit invocation everywhere you can, because you just can't really define how a program runs if you're relying solely on a reactive system. Everything is just reactive to each other. And reducing steps, right? So this is where we want to go with Glade. We need to reduce steps. And by doing that, well, it implies that somebody here has got to give us a few hundred thousand dollars to invest in making Glade. But if we do it, right, it implies a lot of work, you know, because as soon as we start looking at these kind of features that they're doing in Adobe Flash or in Interface Builder, we're looking at making a single project full of a lot of different Glade files. All of these Glade files are part of the same project now, and if one thing changes, so you have to unify the undo redo stack. You have to do all kinds of backflips and tricky stuff has to be done, especially if you want to get that feature, which I want. You know, the experience of just throw up a mock-up and then break it up and create an implementation from that mock-up, which is great. Well, you need a lot of work to get that done. And basically, that's what we're looking for, good ideas to reduce the steps in the process of creating a good user interface without making it crappy, right? While keeping it great, keeping it clean, and making it easy. That's what we want to do. So any suggestions? Yes, Jasper.
So something that I've heard John McCann talk about right now is how if you read the, non-existent GNOME 3 Hig, it recommends like using specific spacing and specific padding and all that sort of stuff. And right now, out of the box in Glade, when you insert a child widget, it's like it's all cranked up and next to each other. A very, very quick thing, or sort of easy thing, that I would say, but I don't know the Glade code base, is recommending a good set of defaults so you get a good GNOME 3 compliant app right out of the box. So I mean, it's sort of orthogonal, but I think that we need to think about how we want to position Glade in terms of making GNOME apps going forward, and about providing a very, very easy way to say, I want to add a button, I want to add three buttons, and everything will be magical. You know, the spacing will be correct, the padding will be, it's the correct location from the window, yada, yada, yada.
We've circled around that for a while. We have this custom code for GTK Dialogue, and there's a kind of trick, like there's one little nasty trick about GTK Dialogue is that the child of the content area must have 5 pixels border, but not the content area itself, because that would cause the action area to also gain the border. So it's kind of really yuck. you know? And some of the things that GTK is doing with padding, which is sensible, is assigning it from style properties. Like a few of the GTK dialogue spacings and paddings are, like, you can set them, but it means nothing. It will be overwritten by style theme settings when the GTK dialogue initializes. A big question we have to ask ourselves about that is, do we want to relinquish all of that for CSS to control it? But it's definitely something to look at.
I also have one more question. When will I actually just be able to drag widgets around to reorder them? And yeah.
Hypothetically, right now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, huh? Is it not working?
It's working.
Oh, well, actually, thank you so much. That's one of my big features.
What about templating for non-widgets?
What about which?
Templates for non-widgets.
For non-widgets?
Like your GTK application, for example.
Can we move Builder to glib?
Yes. Well, you could still use it from GTK and have it constructing for
non-widgets. Yeah.
Right. Says the maintainer of glib. No, it's. I guess it's true. We cannot really, you know, expand that scope until we bring it lower. But I understand that GTK Builder might not be the thing. It might not be the implementation. It might be something variant based, or I don't know. But I don't know. And we probably need serialization as well as deserialization, right? If we're going to move something like that into glib, right?
No, I'm not talking about moving it into glib. I mean, it's fine if it's in GTK, but if then I can also use it to construct things that are not widgets. Like, say for example, there's this semi-common paradigm where you have mostly static menu structure, but then you have, like, you know, one menu that you want to be dynamic, or one section. So you have some menu layout, and then you have an ID on one subsection that's like your recent documents or something like that, or your bookmarks. And then you would want that to become an instance variable in your application so that it's easy to access. So it's really like the same internal child, but it's not being done with widgets.
Well, okay, of course you have that at GTK application window level, but GTK application, it would have to be a rewrite. I mean, it would have to be a port, because we have this abstract class. It does a lot of stuff, right? And maybe we can do it with those, like, default implementations of interfaces. This is, but even then, I think it would be a big can of worms.
So, like, TLDR account.
Exactly, yes.
Is there anything wrong with just, like, I thought that most of the template stuff was generic and abstract and could be used on an AG object. Is that really not the case, or? This is sort of why we have properties and signals in G object, is that we don't have to have a lot of specific GTK widget stuff.
Well, we have the methods are at GTK widget.
I think they're asking about
It can, but there is a few quirks. I mean, GTK widget has a destroy signal, and we use that to memory manage those instance variables, right?
Okay, that's a good point.
It's probably
Well, we don't have a disposed signal, though. We don't know when an object is disposed. If we want to add a disposed signal, we could certainly port it over.
It could be documented that the instance variables exist until the first disposed cycle.
Right, yeah.
It might not be so fun in practice, but yeah.
If you have stuff to deal with, is this a valid object going to dispose, like dealing with dispose and second preferences, and then needing to finalize, it's going to break something.
I don't know. Technically, the implementation should work fine with objects. It really should. There's nothing really widget specific, except that you know, we have GTK container. It helps, you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, like, I mean, actions go in action groups and, you know, text tags go in text tag tables and...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Another
question? Okay, was it not long enough? Do you need me to make a performance? Oh yeah. Oh, that's 12:10. That makes 40 minutes or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like on the schedule, I think it's kind of like this slide is
true. Oh yeah, yeah. That's they. It has to do with your arriving early. It was a preemptive attack. It must have been coordinated. Yes.
I think I read recently that a lot of the UI in Glade is kind of generated, essentially.
Is
generated?
Ah, yes. Generated. It's with templates.
Right. I mean, one thing I'd be quite interested in doing is, like, designing it.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
And
definitely.
Just, there's so many things that are in the UI that don't need to be there.
Yeah, I've been starting to prefer those like dash symbolic icons
that
you guys love so
that.
Much in GNOME. Those little the plus and the minus is very.
There's a lot of low hanging fruit.
Yeah, yeah, and basically we have like 30 UI files in the plugins directory that like you can load and. It doesn't look exactly the same as in the end result, but that's, you know, you can edit those editors in Glade, and I did it very, very fast, and knowing that it can change, right? Okay, well, we do generate the property editors based on what is in the widget class.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And they're kind of not the most useful things, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You had, like, the really useful things there, and then, like, you had some advanced thing that really got you everything.
Well, some of the interesting things are, like, stuff that can be hidden. You know, that it's not really useful as a property in your face, but, like...
Yeah, like, I'm looking at...
But a different way to set it, you know? Like, right now, I have, in the common tab, I have a tooltip property, and I have a check mark whether it's with markup. That way I don't have, like, a tooltip property and, a tooltip text property and a tooltip markup property, you know, like...
Yeah, that kind of, like, stepping one step away from automating everything is very good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
how long ago did you see the editors? Less than a month?
More than a month? You know, well, there's lag, right? So. Yeah, do you have a recent version you can demo?
Let's see. What
if it's approved, I would love to see it.
Yeah, let's
that,
just...
The whole thing was auto-generated.
Yeah.
And now you can actually change it with Glade or any editor.
Yeah.
Using templates.
Wow, okay. So that's pretty cool, then.
Let's see what I got here. Let's hope it doesn't crash right on startup. Huh? Yeah. Okay, so what do we got? It's a very small screen.
It's
pretty big, huh?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
so...
Okay, this is already way better.
You know? You can see that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is
yeah,
what... This
so.
Is... I have some this is the application chooser dialogue, and then isn't there a where is it
yeah, that would be actually really cool. Search box,
because like those icons I never
and this is an application chooser widget. That's not a good example. Let me just find one that does the font button. Where is that? In the middle?
The middle, next to the label.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a combo box. It's to the left of the label. See?
I'm glad I have the only one.
Ah, of course.
Oh, there you go.
All right, yeah. So up here we have font chooser attributes. And where is the font chooser widget again? Is this the... Oh, wait. Oh, that's the combo box section. Font button there. And then this one, so I have this box here, font button attributes, and so like I have this one and everything that's a font, you know, font selector, I just use that again,
right?
And I repeat it, and that works for like the app chooser, the recent chooser, they're all shared components of components. No, actually, right now, after doing all that, I did not remove anything. Everything is still there.
So maybe you should remove
something. No, I would not be opposed to that at all. Like, we had that conversation before, like, maybe there's an advanced mode, maybe there's a different view or something more. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, yeah. I've been resisting the tree view idea for properties because I wanted to get there for so long, but now that I'm there, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have the tree view as well, because...
When you add the tree view, add search as well, please.
Search for properties.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
By the way, is the packing or common tabs still empty at some points? I know I see that sometimes, where it's just like, well, oh,
this is scrolling. Yeah, this is the widget editor now in the common tab. You have your visible, you know, all this flags, and this is the tooltip. It has a custom button. That means that, you know, it's gonna has tooltip true.
Well, the tooltip is already.
So then you get the query tooltip signal, right? Yeah. Yes, it can be empty, like.
This is already a great improvement, I'm just going to say. This new editor system on Google.
Yeah, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be even better when Alan runs his fingers through the grooves between the widgets and adjusts the spaces, yes.
I think you're in for more than that.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Accelerators? Yes, it is.
You could just quickly open that tab up and fix it right now, like late or something. No, I won't make you do that.
It's possible, maybe. Actually, those are the actual property editors, which are mostly custom widgets. And it's possible that it's like in the UI description, but it's possible that it's in that custom widget,
okay,
which is faulty, not expanding. All right. So does that do it? Anybody want to come do a dance? Okay.
I get asked that all the time. Right?
Have you ported the G action group?
The LDR, no.
Okay, yeah, we have things to discuss.
Rockstar programmers perform live.
Yeah.
Hey, can you just, like, do that before you
go? We can have a mud wrestling competition, and, you know, like, we can duke it out, and maybe we'll, like, port G-Action to be, you know, GTK Action, because it's, like, all of the same features, only we don't change the API.
Is
Right. Okay.
All right.
Lunch. Okay. Thanks. It was a pleasure. Thank you.